everybody. Blog Talk Radio.
Espresso. I'm eating edibles. Thank you, Sweetgrass Kitchen, out of Boulder, Colorado. This beautiful Julie. So, tonight, what the hell? What WTF? What am I doing? What am I doing? That you just listened to, that was Darren Williams and Sean Bowie, a.k.a. Teams versus Star Slinger. Two fucking incredible DJs. One is from Miami, now based out of L.A. He's, like, traveling around the world right now. And the other one is based out of Manchester, England. Saha, Star Slinger, at South by Southwest, which is going on right now down in Austin, Texas. I'd like to give a nice shout-out to my friend Taylor Kirk, who is doing a lot of music and light and sound design down there for that whole thing. As some of you may know, I was born and raised in the fantastic, amazing Republic of Texas, one of the most beautiful places on the earth. It was Texas Independence Day yesterday, March 2nd. Fuck Santa Ana. And then again, also, I want to shout out an apology to the Mexicans for just, like, kind of coming in there and strong-arming their land out of there. But I'd also like to say, fuck Oklahoma. And this is something that everyone can quote me on. Being a Texan, we only recognize 49 states. The 50th state is kind of a pussy, and it actually is just land stolen from us. We'll give up Kansas because Kansas sucks. We'll give up that part of New Mexico because, you know, we really didn't have that new part of New Mexico, really. And we'll give up the Front Range of Colorado. Why? Because it's Coloradical. Other than that, I don't know. But the Republic of Texas, I'll give you a little history lesson. The Republic of Texas was formed in, and I'm checking my sources right now with Wikipedia because you know I'm fucking totally all about having the right source. The Republic of Texas was from 1836, March 2nd, 1836, to February 19, 1846. It's a beautiful, beautiful time. Of course, I was not alive. But how my family ended up in Texas, my mother's side, we migrated from Scotland to Tennessee in North Carolina area. Shout out to the Smoky Mountains. And one of my motherfucking ancestors was like, yo, our Texas dope as fuck. Plus, they're in a war. I'm fucking gung-ho. We're a bunch of crazy assholes. This motherfucker gets on his horse, rides for weeks and weeks and weeks on end to go fight for Texas independence. And this is not a lie, everyone, America. He goes, and he, I'll be goddamn, if he doesn't make it right after the war ends and the Republic is, you know, set up. So this motherfucker just goes and homesteads. Yes, that's right. The Shepherd clan have had it pretty easy. We were pretty poor for a while. But yeah. Look, I'm doing Blog Talk Radio, so you know I'm falling out of control now. Anyway, I also want to say that there was a part of Wyoming that was involved with this. You know, we really like Wyoming, so I don't know. Guess we'll get that. You guys are chill. Y-O. And actually, the place that I am broadcasting tonight, of course, America, live in scenic Lakewood, Colorado, Earl presents Tiny Edwards Literary Immigrant. I am at Woodsman Ben's house, and he, though, I don't know where the fuck he was born. He lived in Italy for some time, but he most recently lived in Wyoming. So shout out to Casper, Wyoming, and all the McFly people out there. So, tonight, I don't know, we're having a lot of fun. Last night, Bipedal Approach played, I had a case of getting too high, so I didn't actually make it out. I apologize to the Tiny Ant family, it won't happen again. But apparently, they burned the lines later down to the tour, or down to the floor, and there was just screams heard from miles and groupies piled into their house. Different things like that. That's the Bipedal Approach for you. They're a band of nefarious individuals. Just crazy. Yes. But tonight on the show, we're having Harmony Rose of Architect, one of my favorite bands of late, especially one of my favorite bands on our little Tiny Amp label. She is a fucking awesome. Same with the rest of her band, which hopefully they will all make a little appearance as well. Who knows? I think right now, as we like to do here at Tiny Ant vs. Literary Underground, we are going to get on that Javelina train. This is whenever her and Maddie, Money Johnson, the co-host, who again is doing her thing. Is it an ongoing bit? Will Money Johnson ever show up? I don't know. I don't know. But she did make another amazing playlist. And last summer, her and Miss Emma Crane, a.k.a. Javelina, stopped down for a Day Trotter studio session. And, Jesus, this song is called Where I Fall. And Emma's awesome. So, yeah. this individual. Every time I am old 505 Way, Santa Fe, Albuquerque, I stay with Emma Crane because of her brain. She is an amazing, amazing individual. I really can't, like, stress that enough. She never leaves Albuquerque either. She does not. I mean, she does. I don't want to, you know, make it seem like she's some creepy lady, because she's not at all. But she's not a big fan of traveling. So it's always a pleasure to hear her and to get new music. And I'm pretty sure she's coming to visit at the end of the month. So it's just a pleasure across the board, honestly. And she is, again, Madeline's BFF. And speaking of tour, Hunter Dragon and Mariposa, Hunter Joshua and Madeline Johnson, are going to be going on tour this summer across the United States. Right now, they're in the process of hammering out the dates, locations. Excuse me. I do know it's going to start off in Nebraska, end up at Kit Wrench, which is always here at the end of July, August, somewhere around that time. Here in Denver, it's a Women's Live, just celebration of women, which I am 1,000,000,000% on board with, because I love celebrating women, because yes. Also, I'd like to do a little pub for the Literary Underground. March 23rd, Old California Way. Back, you know, shout out to my boy Smokes down in Compton. L.A., Clefjaw, Kill Poet, poetry reading on the beach, Venice Beach, keeping it real as a full-time occupation, and we're doing it still, America. This is the Literary Underground, and holy shit, it's gonna, I don't even know. We're not too sure. I was going to try to make it out for the show. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to, just because of funds and short notice, things like that. But in 20 days, if you're in the L.A. area, shit, if you're in fucking Nevada, Oregon, shit, if you're in fucking New York, you want to fucking make a trip, do it. What the hell? Why not? Come support local everything, artistry across the nation. Support the local economy everywhere, because why the fuck not? Why not? Anyway, man, yeah, so, I'm sorry, I'm just really jazzed up. It's been a great day, America. Yesterday I got a raise. Woodsman Ben has returned home. Hello, Woodsman Ben.
What up?
Yeah, I'd like to give a shout-out to him for letting me chill at his apartment by myself and trust that I would just do the radio show and not have strippers over here and do lines of cocaine and things, because, yes, but... I don't even remember where we were going. So what we're going to do now is play another song, because I've completely lost my train of thought. This is Riverside by Architect. And that's, like, no lie. I honestly believe that. He just hasn't done enough shows to get that street cred yet. But he is, and mark my words, he will be on Comedy Central at some point. Fucking, we used to go every Saturday. I wasn't the wealthiest kid growing up. Still not a wealthy kid by at all, probably even less so now. Humble beginnings of parents who, you know, do church ministry, and there's not money in that. There's love, and that's what I learned from that. And Tittle, every Saturday, would come and pick me up and take me out for a cheeseburger just because he's one of my best friends, and we would just do that. It became a little ritual, and it became a nice time for us to come up with movie ideas and different things like that. And Kincaid's was one of those places that we just loved. You know, you drive 30, 40 minutes away from home into the heart of Fort Worth, you know, a day trip. Like, nothing like a day trip when you're in high school, you know, definitely. So Kincaid's, if you're ever in Arlington Heights in Fort Worth, please stop by. It's on an old brick road, too, to add, you know, I don't even remember the fucking name to all these roads. You know why? Because I don't do any fucking research for this show. Go by the seat of my balls or pants or whatever that's called, whatever that. So, yeah, Kincaid's. But as I was being reminded just a second ago during that song, I was talking about a raise that I got at the dispensary. Not a big deal. It's a dollar, but that's huge to me, and I want to thank everybody because I'm really proud because a year ago now, I was living on floors and couches, and having $10 was a big thing to me, even though, you know, years before, I'd been doing the regular thing. But when you go through some hard times, you definitely appreciate everything that happens, and you want to just spread that love as much as possible. So I'd like to dedicate this show tonight to my grassroots-grown family. For them helping me get on my feet and being the man that you hear today. You cannot see me because I have a face for radio. But what we're going to do now is play some Austin Morel and the Alchemists because we're jazzed and the show's actually gotten content. So fuck yeah, let's go.
Hey. Spin me a lie. I don't care if you're lying. Hey, tell me what's on your mind. And take your time, 'cause you're always on mine. Hey, I like the sound of your voice. Look in your eyes, everything is alright.
Hey.
your cousin Nico. Let's go bowling. Hello, America. Welcome back. It is Earl Presents Tiny Ant versus the Literary Underground. Holy fucking shit, we got a caller. What the hell? Caller? Caller.
Yes. Hello.
Caller. Is this
hello?
Is this Franklin Metropolis?
I guess if you want to call it that sort of embodiment of yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah. What the hell is up, my friend? What's up, brother? I haven't talked
how
to you.
How the fuck are you?
Dude,
oh, man.
Awesome. It's so good to hear from you. Oh, man.
It's a good fucking show, man. I heard you talking about, like, my favorite Tiny Ant band, Architect, and I was like, oh, shit. And I think I missed it because my MacBook started crapping out on me. It started, like, overheating, and it was all like, you know what I'm saying? So,
God damn, yeah. Those fucking MacBooks, man. I'm actually about to get a MacBook this weekend.
Oh, nice.
Which is going to make this whole show a lot better, America. I'd like to throw that out there. But how have you been, Mr. Metropolis? Yeah. How have things been going over at Club Jaw?
It's going pretty fucking good. We're actually getting amped up for a co-reading with Kill Poet in Venice Beach on the 23rd of this month.
Talking about that, I was fucking disappointed that I'm not going to be able to make it out there, but I am pumped to hear how it goes. So I think it's going to be the first one since I've started coming to the readings that I've missed, which I'm pretty disappointed in, but stay alive.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I still haven't even gotten my train tickets yet. I got to get my fucking shit together, so I'm hoping
that's how
that
it goes.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'll make it.
For you. Always flying by the seat of our pants.
Yeah, definitely, man. Now, like, I also wanted to come on and talk to you about, fuck, man, your book, Galaxy versus Sabretooth. It's an amazing journey, man. Like, I love, I keep going back to it and reading it over and over again. And
you know, whenever you and Dustin asked me to send you 100 poems, and whenever I did, I went through those. It was quite the experience to go back and read through all those and remember, you know, the visceral experience of, like, reliving each of those moments. And then,
yeah.
If I was to be the editor, I would have not even chosen, probably, I don't even know. Half those poems I never even really, like, thought. You know, I read over that day, but I was like, oh, yeah, these are the ones, you know. And the ones that I thought, you know, these are the ones, didn't even make it. And I was so happy about that, you know, like, starve the ego, feed the soul, remember where you came from, remember where you're going kind of thing. It was a really I just loved what y'all did for me to, like, you know, be like, yo, this is what we like, you know, which is completely opposite of what I like from what I do. So that's a really nice thing to...
It was ill, man. Like, I especially like the one, you've got the narrative voice talking about walking into a situation where they're about to be, I don't know, from what I got from it, be locked up in a mental institution for a little bit. And, you know, like, I had that experience happen to me whenever I was a kid, like, for real. Like, my parents, like, tricked me by telling me, like, my dad told me that, like, he was sick and he needed to see me at this doctor's office. Dr. Brooks' office was the guy's name. And I go over there, man, and, like, my dad and my mom are at the edge of the room, and, like, they shut the door, and, like, behind the door are, like, two cops with, like, fucking ankle cuffs and, like, fucking the whole nine. Yeah, dude. I walked, like, right into that shit. There was, like, no getting out of there either. It was fucking nuts.
Holy shit. That's that is nuts, man. Yeah, no, couple of years ago, I had a family member who just started going through some really, really tough times when we lived together, and I was not, as a young kid, he did a lot of drugs, really, like, I didn't really understand what was going on, and I wasn't really emotionally available to kind of deal with what was going on. The only real escape I had was art, music, and writing, and then travel, to get away, to get physically away from it, because sometimes you just have to physically remove yourself from situations to actually... realign perspectives, realign your chakras, get your fucking head on straight, honestly, like,
right.
It's a really tough time to be a young man in America and not want to cut your hair and fucking
yeah,
go to college and fucking shit like that. I know you know that very
well. Oh, I know.
Well. Yeah, so. Especially, I mean, you and I, you grew up in Kentucky and I grew up in fucking Texas. I mean, talk about the culturally anemic.
Oh, most definitely. I had a guy that was here, like, staying at the hostel, and he was from California, and, like, I guess he was, like, in the military at some point, and he had drove all the way out here from, like, Fort Knox, and he was talking about how it was, like, basically Paleolithic there. Like, he was talking about how, like, backwards and everything, like, how small-minded people were and shit like that, and I was
My parents live out in Whitney, Texas, which is about 20-30 minutes west of Waco. And Waco is like a very center of Texas. That's just out in the middle of goddamn nowhere. One of the bigger meth counties in Texas. It's just, you walk around that city and you're back in time. You know what I mean? Like, you've got all the people that you would read about in the old books or see as like an old caricature on TV. All of that shit. It's a maddening experience. It's not humbling in any way. It's a reverse. You know what I mean? Like, It drives at you, especially. I know you and I both huge dreamers, and whenever you're living in a place that is completely devoid of dreams and depleted of dreams and used to growing up to work at the Chicken Express or the McDonald's or the, you know, at the gas station, and, you know, there's the guy that's going to get arrested, and he's going to get arrested by his old buddy because he's now a cop, and they all, you know, shoot the shit, and it's a big joke that he goes to jail every weekend. I mean, these same scenes play out in little towns all across America, and it's really fucking hard to experience that growing up, especially when you know that there is so much more to the world, so much more everywhere, and all you want to do is just throw on your backpack and hoop it, because you just, oh, man.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad you fucking said that, dude. That's actually... it's a good segue. Like, I wanted to come on because, I mean, you were talking about cleft jaw and, like, everybody's asking about stuff. And, like, I wanted to come on and read some stuff that is from this book called Black Mask and Up Against the Wall, Motherfucker, which is incomplete works of Ron Hain, Ben Morea, and the Black Mask Group, which is an anarchist, Dadaist group. I'll give you guys a little.
Right.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's like these guys are crazy. Like, they were founded in New York City in, like, the mid-60s, basically melding the ideas and inspiration of Dada and the surrealists with the anarchism of the Derrida column from the Spanish Revolution, with the theory of practice.
Dada surrealism, fuck yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's pretty crazy, man. It's pretty fucking nuts. But there's a page here, I mean, you're talking about, like, being dreamers stuck in a land void of dream, you know? And there's a spot in here on page 124, it's called The Myth Killer. I'll bust this out real quick. We must develop our own standard of beauty. The hip community exists because we have abandoned the institutions of this so-called society, home/family or school or job or army, etc. We are all runaways. Wherever we are, the hip community exists. The street, the pad, the park, the subways, all night, the pawn shops, the coffee houses, gym, spa, the place doesn't matter. Considering the many levels and the tremendous mobility of the hip community, in order to survive, and survival is what we are concerned with, there must be link-ups. There must be focal points in each city where our community can base itself. What's real to us is dinner in our stomachs. What's real to us is music we can dance to. What's real to us are all of those things that are necessary for a living community, for a fighting community. Karate classes, bail and defense funds, anti-pig militia, communal meals, crash pads, communes. What's real to us is space to survive. What's real to us is to feel, to fuck, to dance, to sing, to take dope, to jump up and down, shaggy-haired, fang-toothed, with everything hanging out. To survive in America as a total human being is revolutionary. Hip is living, really living, and to live in America is a crime punishable by death. As the threat of our community grows, repression becomes greater, and the need for survival space becomes more urgent. We cannot allow the man to define us our space. Everywhere we turn, bullshit America has been defining what we do and who we are. We have allowed the media, the record companies, the psychedelic merchandisers, and the suburban imitators to tell us what the quote-unquote hip revolution is all about, and no more. We must now launch a total assault on every form of oppression that seeks to limit our existence and our possibilities. Controlling our lives means creating total freedom by any means necessary. We must create the hip revolutionary community. We must destroy America because it has nothing to offer us but death. The international werewolf conspiracy is the hip revolutionary community in action, insanely hungry for the chance to discover how to live and rabid for the blood and guts of the honkies and pigs who infect everything they see with the plague of living death. Werewolves of the world, join the feast. And that's from Black Mask and Up Against the Wall, motherfucker.
God damn. And that is some, that is some powerful stuff. That is some words with teeth in it. That's for goddamn sure. My goodness.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's some of the ideals that I didn't, like, really agree with. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Like, that goes,
yeah, no.
That goes along with being an individual anarchist. Like, I don't really believe
exactly.
in groups and communes and stuff like that. But,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
you know
no,
what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Yeah, that is, I mean, that, and that is late 70s, too, you know. It's a
yeah.
completely different time period than the information renaissance that we're living in now, you know. I mean,
but I
people,
like how it talked about how we're all, like, runaways, you know what I mean? And, like,
yeah.
how...
Oh, and that is one of the most... That is the thing that, you know, rings true to me is, you know, even my dad, he's a Catholic priest before he was a Methodist minister. But in between there, he kind of wandered around for a little while, grew his hair long, and you know, hitchhiked around America. Everybody has that streak. Everybody is capable of moving and doing anything at one time. It's just honestly taking those steps and cutting those ties and putting yourself
yeah.
in between some distance and some space and time between things, you know?
Space to survive, man.
Exactly, because, that, you
yeah.
know... It gets to a point, especially when you've grown up around the same people for years and years, and I've never experienced this, but I've seen friends go through this, and it's just so hard to detach because you're so close to those people and you've been through so much. And it's not that that you have to detach, but if you want to grow, if you really want to seriously grow and you really want to seriously look in yourself in the eyes and know who you are inside, you really do have to detach yourself. Whether that be with time and distance or even that be with changing up your routine and doing things. It's a very interesting
yeah.
process to grow up. Like,
yeah.
you just can't do the same thing over and over, or a little bit of you dies, you know, not all of you dies, but a little bit of that adventurous streak, a little bit of that kid dies. And that is one thing to me that is so dear is never letting that kid die. I can never let 7-year-old Andrew down. Because that
yeah.
was the first time that I watched Beavis and Butthead do America, and they tripped out in the desert. I was like, all I want to do is eat acid, all I want to do is draw pictures, and live my life exactly how I want to. And you know what? That's what I'm trying to do right now. So 7-year-old Andrew, this is for you, bud.
Fucking A.
How's the fucking Albuquerque going, brother? How's it down old 505 way?
Oh, man, it's going pretty... I don't know. It's pretty ups and downs. Like, I've kind of been having some fucking, like, teeth issues lately. So, like, I've been dealing
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, I remember you saying your wisdom
yeah.
teeth a couple weeks ago. And I did
it's not even
it.
That. Like, it turned out it was, like, just wicked-ass, like, gingivitis and shit. So.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah.
You got teeth taking... Teeth are a crazy thing, my friend.
yeah. I had these, like, there was these two Jewish ladies that were staying here one day, and they were so fucking cool. And, like, they were talking to me. I had a toothache at the time, and she was telling me, she's like, well, you should, you know, just stop spending money on booze and cigarettes and fix your teeth because you'll need them when you're older. I was like, yeah, it's totally making
wow,
sense right now.
Yeah, right, you know. I remember
yeah.
Being wheeled through the hospital on Thanksgiving Day, just totally doped out of my mind. And, of course, they had to give me, like, they were like, have you ever done drugs in your life? And I was like, no. And they're like, well, you just have an extremely insane high tolerance. I was like, well, yeah, you know, this is crazy. But they were just, all I could think about was like, man, the amount of things I've already put my body through in the past 6 years, and here it
yeah.
is. Here's me dealing with it, you know. I knew it was just an appendix, simple surgery, not going to die. But, you know, shit, anything can happen at one time. One slip of the...
Shit's scary, man. Like,
yeah.
I've always been scared to take, like, one of those, like, CAT scans for, you know, like, how your brain looks after chronic ecstasy use because, I don't know, like, the summer of 2001 and, like, 2002, is pretty much like a blank slate for me.
God, I know that too well. 2008 to 2009 really is about a month. There was a couple of times where I even remember my other co-host, Sam, who's on all the time. We were at a baseball game in a doubleheader, and I was like, man, this game is long. And he looked at me, and he was like, well, this is the second part of a doubleheader. And I was like, oh. And I turned, you know, I dropped him. And then I was like, isn't that party tonight, you know, some girl's party or something? And he looked at me like I was the dumbest person he'd ever seen. He goes, dude, that was a month ago. And then
wow.
Again, I was just like, oh, okay, yeah, and just looked forward. And honest to God, this is the funniest thing. That night, some guy jumped out of the stands because of it was a doubleheader. Everybody was just sloshed or fucked up on something. And this guy just jumps out of the stands, runs butt naked across the field, really only makes it like maybe past the third baseline, gets his ass tackled. Hilarious. One of the best things I've ever seen as a live human being. Don't
see
streakers very often, but on a head full of drugs, you're very liable to see a streaker. And that's the only thing that you can recollect. You don't know how you made it to the stadium. You don't know how you made it home, but you do know someone was naked and they were on
that
the
should
field
be tonight's, time. Like, ultimate lesson, I think.
Yeah, no, it will be, honestly, as we all reflect on this night.
Just
I got
to
get you hooked up with Javelina, too. She's been getting stuff done down in New Mexico.
Nice.
Especially in your area of the world. So she's getting a lot of shows, some tiny amp shows. And
I
want to
get,
actually,
like, I want to get a tiny amp show going on down here at the Sister Bar downtown. Like, this fucking place is pretty goddamn amazing, man. Like, it would be a perfect fucking spot for you, like, tiny amp, I think.
So
kick fucking
being
death.
A part of the Tiny Amp crew, I'm the quasi help set up shows, do this, and then also be roadie. April sometime, I'm going to be coming down to Albuquerque and Santa Fe with the bipedal approach. And we're not too sure who else is going to be coming with us, but yeah, I mean, we'd probably like to set up. I know they would definitely like to probably set up another show, so we can definitely get on board with this and get something going for April.
Fuck, yeah. I've really dug the bipedal approach. Their bassist is, like, fucking hilarious. That guy should be, like, a stand-up comedian.
Jack is out of his mind. He's awesome. I'm going to try to get one of them on. They played a show last night, so they're all probably just still partying or drunk, whatever they're doing. They are, like, you know, whenever you hang out with, like, people who are in bands and you actually hang out with, like, rockers, those guys are fucking, they like to get down. Like,
werewolves, man.
They can drink with the best. Oh, yeah. Werewolves can drink with the best of them and stay up all night.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, fuck yeah, Frankie. I'm fucking glad that you called.
And I'm glad to talk to you, Holmes. It's been a while.
Yeah,
dude. Like, fuck it.
Yeah, I know. Fucking shit getting busy. I got a promotion yesterday, as I was saying earlier. I think I'm going to probably be helping grow out at the farm, too. Not that I'm a master of horticulture in any sense of the term, but I'm going to be trying to learn as much as I possibly can from the man himself. So be a young Padawan out in the grass fields.
Fuck yeah, go forth, young Jedi, and conquer.
Yeah, right? Use some of my Vulcan logic and my Jedi mind tricks out there. Who knows?
Fuck yeah. Well, shit, man, I appreciate you giving me the time to fucking just chit-chat with you.
Dude, I really appreciate you calling. And, yeah, we'll be in contact soon. I'm getting back into the swing of things. After that show down here, I took a little break, just a little psyche break.
Yeah.
Meditationals, went to places, and now I'm getting back into the swing of things. I'm pretty much ready to dominate the planet.
Fucking
A,
man.
Really nice
that was
place.
Some heavy shit, so, like, I'm looking forward to coming back in that neck of the woods.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and you know, you and Lindsay are always welcome at our house at any point. If you want to just take a weekend trip and come stay and go play, you know, just let me know, like, a week or two in advance, and I'll move work around so we can go do some shit.
Word, I might take you up on that sooner than you think.
Right on, brother. Hell yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, brother. Well, shit, take it easy, and looking forward to the rest of the show.
Yeah, man, definitely. You take it easy as well. Thanks for calling in again.
Word. Stay up, bud.
Yeah, stay up. Later. Wow. the legendary Franklin Metropolis, the man who has single-handedly put me on to the literary scene. I really, really appreciate that man and everything he does for all of us here in the scene. He really tries to be the bridge and the voice of reason a lot of the time. And he's passionate. You really can't ask for anything more out of the people you work with than to be passionate about what they do, because that's the most important part every fucking time. Wow. Cool. All right. I think now I'm going to play Ride the Concrete by A.J. Woods, come back with some poetry, maybe some Harmony Rose if she can. Sambo has just finished an Orlando Magic game. He's going to be calling us with details and talking mad shit about shit. So here's Ride the Concrete by A.J. Woods.
Actually, a lot of it is Michelle's brains and my fire, I think. But
She
wrote, I've known Michelle since middle school, and we were both up for Most Musical in like the middle school yearbook that doesn't matter at all, you know, but when you're 11, it means everything to you.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know Michelle very well, and she didn't know me. But I had borrowed one of her gym shirts because we were like about the same size and always have been. And I was like in tears because she had won Most Musical. And she was so sweet, and she turned around, and I said, here's your gym shirt back. And that's kind of, I mean, that's kind of where it started. It was a really long time ago in, like, sixth grade.
Wow, that's fucking beautiful, honestly. And then, you know what, that really actually shows. I had never really talked to you ladies about, you know, really much. Anytime that we cross paths, I'm pretty drunk or stoned, which I apologize, but.
No, it's all the same here.
Both of you girls have that, you're in tune with each other. It's like, my friend Sam, who generally does this show with me, it's like one of those things you don't have to talk. You could honestly go like a whole day without talking, you know what I mean? And just know what the hell is going on. And I can see that whenever you guys play, and that's one of those things, that energy, you know, and especially with Brent. I mean, Brent just is wonderful as he is. He has just everything that he does. And, I mean, the three of you guys are just such wonderful human beings that your energy just really flows out of your live performances. They're just so, Franklin was just on too, and he was just raving about you guys as well. I mean, you honestly, you guys are really something special. I really got fanboy right there.
Thank you. That means so much to us. It means so much to us.
it's, you know, especially that first time that I saw y'all at the Tiny Ant. We had a little Tiny Ant, I don't even know what that was, just like a little barbecue around the Hunter's backyard a few months ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know that you guys were in a band, and you literally just blew me away. I was just sitting there, me and my friend Bill just kept looking at each other, just like, holy shit, like, fuck. Like, it's like I've been waiting for your kind of music, like that soulful, hip-hop-y, indie rock, like just a mod podge of everything. Like, yeah, and that also makes me wonder, who is y'all's biggest musical influences? Like, who do y'all draw from to get this inspiration? Or is it just like, I don't know.
That's a good question. Michelle and I always really loved, we used to bond over, like, Ella Fitzgerald and Cab Calloway a really long time ago. But, you know, we both really, really do love hip-hop so much. And I grew up, like, high school, I listened to everything on Anticon, and I introduced her to Saul Williams, and Saul Williams, I think, is like our god.
I'm right there with you. Maddie actually got me a Saul Williams book for Christmas. I got her Lawrence Ferlinghetti book. Oh yeah, he is.
Yeah, that's great.
He set the bar so high for anybody who's an underground poet, musician, writer, like, which the funny thing is, you're an amazing writer yourself, and you and your wonderful boyfriend, who I've had a large man crush on for years and years, y'all are doing some little poetry zine out here, aren't you?
Yes, we are. It's called The Need to Be Still, which we have. Well, he's really inspired by Liesl Mueller, this wonderful woman poet. She's so blunt, and she's not too flowery, her language, but it's there's this book, and there's a title of the book called In the Kitchen at 3 a.m. I Just Wanted to Talk to You, and we were inspired by that as well, but just like, you know, titles that are almost a poem themselves. And so that is the name of one of her poems, but we're kind of not worrying about it because we've had so many names, and, you know, it's so hard to find a band name or a magazine name or even a website name. Everything's taken. You know, we'll have these really good ideas, and then we look them up, and somebody, you know, I think there's another architect in the UK, and
and I think that's one of the beautiful things about the 21st century and the renaissance, the technological renaissance that we're in right now. It's just there are so many people doing the same thing. And it's funny, I don't know if it's going to go to that place where people get angry or like, hey, I'm architect, or no, I'm architect. Or if it's going to be one of those things where, oh, we're the UK architect, let's play with the US architect and let's go on a tour just because that's novel, you know, like that's.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I personally, I've always had a dream to do, like, this collective, like, that's also where I produce books and music, all the, you know, just some crazy empire that is just, like, really unfeasible in a lot of ways. And
mm-hmm.
I always want to call it Cellar Door because I love Donnie
yeah.
Darko.
yeah.
And
yeah.
I, man, the amount of things out there that are Cellar Door is just astronomical. So it's one of those where
yeah.
you just got to do what feels right for you. I mean, we're going to have to get to the point where binary code is the only way that we can remain original, you know, a series of numbers.
That's exactly right.
And that'll be a strange time. But
yeah.
Oh,
yeah, this is my
1010. So, and y'all, I just saw today on the Facebook, you and Madeline and some other bands are playing a show. When is that?
Yeah, we're playing with Sem on March 29th at the Deer Pile. I believe it's Mariposa and the Bipedal Approach and Architect and Maddie's friends from, where are they from? Austin.
Oh, fucking, oh, right on. I didn't even realize
yeah.
that. I should probably talk to my roommate more in depthly. That's fucking awesome. That is going to be such a great show. I mean,
yeah.
you, Maddie, and Bipedal are all just, so talented. I mean, everybody on the Tiny Amp roster is honestly really ridiculously talented. We have, in no time, assembled a really all-star cast of youngins. I'm very excited for what the future holds.
Yeah, it's definitely a pleasure to be lumped into this sort of, like, group of people that make music like that.
Sort of
not perfect, you know.
Yeah. That's,
because I'm not really into the perfect band. And everybody, you know, everybody, I love when you see somebody who just, you know, is really saying something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard to explain.
Oh, no, yeah. You and I are on the same page, and the rest of the people who are listening to this are on the same page, because that is what this whole scene is about, is doing exactly just come from the heart. Even if you mess up, keep going, roll with the punches, you know, never be afraid. I'm just, you know, so proud and happy to be a part of all of what's going on in Denver, just in America right now. It's a really wonderful time for people our age and the art community. I really think it's a different thing than what we're seeing on the media. It's a changing of tides. It's a really positive thing. So I'm glad that you're a part of it with us, too. And I'm glad that you guys just make such wonderful music, because it really soothes my soul listening to you guys, watching you perform, because you all are so just in tune with everything. It's just really nice. It's really refreshing.
Thank you.
Of course. And we should definitely get together and burn a couple soon. We should talk about things in real life.
Yeah.
We live in the same city, and I feel like I don't ever do anything but work and write. So I want to change this. So.
No, I feel you. We when we were in the car with you last weekend, we all felt so stupid when we were driving away. We said, well, because we were supposed to play at the Rhino with two really cool bands from New York, but the snow kind of just slayed that show. So, we should have invited Andrew over. You know?
Yeah, I do. That's how things go. You know, it's just go. One of these days we'll get together, you, me, and the whole gang, and we should probably have another potluck soon, a good old Tiny Ant potluck. That's always a refreshing thing. And Maddie and I were talking about this summer having Tiny Camp, little festival. I think that's the working title of it right now. So we'll definitely have like a big old talk soon as a family, because that's what we are, Tiny Ant family. Well, thank you so much, Harmony. You're a fucking doll. Thanks for being on the show, taking your time on your busy day to talk a little old me.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, dude. And I'll see you soon.
All right. Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye.
Miss Harmony Rose of Architect, one of Tiny Ant's BFFs, because they are Tiny Ant. Tiny Ant blood courses through their veins. Right now, we're going to play another song called Pipes That Drain Out the Sea by Greg Mullen.
I put on clean white shoes for the aftermath, and when I saw my reflection, I just had to laugh. I mean, I really thought that I could sweat this one out. So I laid my body down on a gigantic pile of leaves, and I shut my eyes so tight that I could hear it in my ears, and pretended that I was a great old ship. I was ancient and afloat. I was perfect.
Chris Webber, Mike Giddy, Doug Christie teams of the early 2000s. Very impressive.
Way to go, Fionn. Yeah, for someone who doesn't know about basketball, you sure know a lot about basketball.
Yeah, that's one for the girls.
Yeah, all single ladies. But for real, though,
with Turkoglu getting busted for steroids, Redick getting traded to the Bucks, Jameer Nelson and Big Baby Davis were both hurt. Like, I was there. I'm not a Magic fan. I would have been so pissed off.
Did the ghost of Tracy McGrady emerge from the stands and play? Because I can't name a single other fucking person on that roster off the top of my head besides, like, Al Harrington.
Oh, no, exactly. All I knew was Al Harrington and Aaron Afalo. Besides that.
Yeah, and they both just got traded there over the summer from Denver. So, like, honestly, that must be a team of just, like, oh. That is
It's the island of misfit toys. Is what
the Orlando Magic, a.k.a. the island of misfit toys. I love it. Fucking God. And, dude, they had Doc Rivers when they had Tracy McGrady. Like, if they had honestly just spent their money wisely and built it, they would still have a good team if they hadn't been idiots. But
I'll just tell you, like, Fionn, like I said, doesn't know much about basketball, but she even asked me multiple times, why are they so bad? And I've never seen a team have more than three double dribbles in an NBA game.
I've seen Allen Iverson do that before, but, yeah, I've never seen – and I mean, but that's just because Allen Iverson was just crazy, and he thought – I also saw Rafer Halston do that.
He used to be in the 76ers.
Yeah, there we go. That's an expert commentary. Thank you, Fionn. That's completely right. He also almost didn't make it out of – college because he, like, destroyed some human beings with a chair at a bowling alley in Virginia.
I saw the 30 for 30 on that. Somebody called Stuart Scott.
Dude, don't call Stuart Scott. His eye freaks me the fuck out. And who told us? Is that Joe who told us that?
Andre McNabb?
Donovan McNabb, yeah. Threw a perfect spiral into Stuart Scott's eye. And if we have any listeners out there who can confirm that Donovan McNabb was the one to poke out Stuart Scott's eye, I would appreciate that more than anything ever in the world. Like,
Dude, honestly, I'm going to be 100% real with you. As far as I know, that's exactly how it happened. I've never heard otherwise.
Yeah, I've never heard another story than that, but that could be just old Texas lore. And I want to point out earlier, I said Texas and Kentucky I said that they were culturally anemic. I want to say that they had a large population of the culturally anemic, and that is all I have to say. Back to Earl's Presents Tiny Ant vs. Larry Underground. So, Sam, have you been thinking about all the people who have been wanting to do sponsorship for us? Because I know that you were telling me earlier in the week that you had some people out in Orlando who wanted to do some sponsorship.
Well, I have quite a few, to be honest with you. I mean, if you got a hankering late at night, Waffle House, chocolate chip waffles, satisfy your hunger. If you got a sensational burning at the bottom of your foot that you can't take care of, Lotrimin Ultra, you know, they're way better in tough actives than Actin. They'll take care of your problem right quick. There's more.
Jarritos. I really want to get sponsored by Jarritos, the Mexican soda, the Mexican mineral water, the pineapple soda, because there is nothing like a cold Jarritos on a hot summer day. Corn on the cob covered in mayonnaise and chili powder. What, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I just had a machata and vodka like 3 minutes ago.
Oh, God, yes. I'm glad that, you know, you can take the boys out of Texas, but you can't take the Texas out of the boys. Once again, Texas independence. Holy shit, fuck yes. Fuck you, Santa Ana. Fuck you, Hitler. That's all I got to say.
Oh, God.
Dude, so I saw this stat today, and I thought that you would, like, discuss it. Johnny Manziel was is the all time leader in the NCAA for all purpose yards. Now like 5,817. But number four on the list is a really big friend of the show. I mean, Johnny Manziel, and this is SEC history, of course, everybody. Johnny Manziel, Texas A&M, 5,116 yards. Cam Newton, 4,327 yards. Tim Tebow, 4,181 yards. And you know what? I think all of these people are going to have a common theme as they were drafted in the first round, because number four on the list, 1998, Chris. Kentucky. No. Your boy, my boy, Tim Couch. Tim a Couch, a.k.a. Clutch, with 4,151 yards, drafted by none other than the Cleveland Browns, who is, of course, your family's hometown team.
I'm to be honest with you, I'm pretty embarrassed that I didn't know that stat. And
isn't that an amazing
stat,
though? But that's all through the air. I want to make that clear, too. Tim Tebow, Johnny Manziel, and Cam Newton all did that with all-purpose yards, so it's ground and air. Tim Couch simply did 4,151 yards through air. Just throw that out.
But what makes it even that much more disappointing, how much of a bust he was with the Browns.
Oh, yeah, well, and you know what? It wasn't necessarily Tim Couch's fault as much as it was just the Browns.
Tim Couch can't win a Super Bowl himself. What quarterback in the NFL can?
Exactly. Same thing with Akili Smith. I want to point out, Akili Smith went right after Tim Couch in that draft. One of my favorite quarterbacks from Oregon. Of course, not my favorite quarterback from Oregon. Shout out to Joey Harrington. But he went in that draft as well, and he got drafted by the Bengals, and of course, both those Ohio teams, which you and I have a very loving affection for anything Ohio, and both of those Ohio teams are trash and have been trash. I mean, the Bengals are actually, you know, sort of respectable now, but...
Well, imagine this. If Troy Smith hadn't gotten the flu, he would have been the starter over Flacco, and the Flacco era, at least, I'm not going to say it would have never happened, but it would have definitely been delayed.
Yeah, definitely. And I also want to point out that Joe Flacco is now the highest paid quarterback in NFL history.
He got a new deal? I did not
see
it.
Yeah, he got a new deal. It's like $125 million, something like that. It's
that
6 years,
that
$125 million.
Hogwash to the floor.
So I know what I. You know, if I'm the Ravens, Ray Rice is a little more important to me. Keeping Ed Reed around for another year is a little more important to me. You know, Joe Flacco, of course, yeah, he is franchise quarterback. Will be franchise quarterback. Won the most playoff games out of a young quarterback ever. Been to the playoffs all every year. But man. Ed Reed, possibly the greatest safety since Rod Woodson. Like, I mean, definitely the greatest safety since Rod Woodson. Maybe the greatest safety of all time. Like, the guy, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, did you see this? Switching over to our hometown talk, multiple Cowboys, at least five Cowboys, restructured their contracts to take less money, including Brandon Carr, who, and I quote, says, "I feel like this team has multiple Super Bowls in them in the next, you know, couple years, in the next coming years."
Yeah, I saw DeMarcus Ware did that, too. That's, I mean, whenever your leaders are doing that, and Brandon Carr, who only signed his deal last offseason.
That's what I mean. Jason Witten, DeMarcus Ware, Brandon Carr, who just signed his deal, is already restructuring his contract. I knew I liked that guy. That guy is a freaking – he's a
class act. Hoss and a class act. That is just – that's the epitome of being class act. And the only thing that's wrong with the Cowboys, to be on a hometown talk, that offensive line is abysmal. The middle of that defensive line, I love to slide J. Ratliff outside and let him work on the outside instead of his talent being not – it's not wasted because he is a good 3-4 quad, but Jesus Christ, he's so much more athletic and – he's a lot smaller than a lot of the 3-4 defensive tackles. I mean, Casey Hampton, for instance, Haoti Ngata, the other 3-4 nose tackles, those guys are huge compared to J. Ratliff. I would love to be able to
exactly.
J. Ratliff to defensive end. Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense in my mind. And it's all Jerry Jones. It's Al Davis syndrome has gotten to his brain, and I really hope that this act by all the Cowboys is like, hey, Jerry, get your shit together because we want to win. It's not about you anymore. It's about everybody. Because that's the only thing that Jerry Jones has never realized.
I could not agree more. And but I mean, we're not even going to be running the 3-4 anymore. We're going to be running that goddamn Tampa 2.
I completely forgot about that. Yeah, because we were running that crazy like Rob Ryan Predator 3-4. Now it's going to that Monty Kiffin. Like you're going to have four down rushers at all times, but it's going to be a rotating cast of characters. So that means that it even takes up more of your more of your roster space, which is going to be annoying as fuck because we have. Some wider, and did you see they're trying to sign Steve Ruston? What do you think about that? I mean, that's not the first pressing concern when I – yeah, that's not the first concern when I think of the Cowboys. I don't think, man, we need a third wide receiver. That's not that's not the first thing that comes to mind, offensive linemen. I mean
– no. First and foremost, of course, O-line, but me personally, I've always loved Steve Ruston. But Dwayne Harris came on strong at the end of last year.
Yes,
and it really depends on what Miles Austin's going to do. His hamstrings are about as flimsy as they can be. He's always hurt. Completely overrated in my mind. If he's healthy and he plays up to his potential, like him and Dez can be a deadly duo, and Dwayne Harris is an incredible complimentary third receiver. I mean, you throw Steve Ruston in there, I mean, that only – in my mind, I mean, if we can sign him for cheap money, that only, like, heightens Miles Austin's, I don't know
what he's worth.
Healthy, it just needs him, gives him a reason to work more. But, of course, our offensive line is terrible, and it kills me when I'm at Disney and all these people, claim to be Cowboys fans. Say Tony Romo this, Tony Romo that, and I'm like, no bullshit. I'll tell you what, we need DeMarco Murray. We need him to stay healthy, but if not, we need a formidable number two back. We need some safeties and some O line. That is what we need above all.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw a picture the other day on the internet of Tyrone Smith, our left tackle, without his shirt on, and Doug Free, our right tackle, without his shirt on, and it is embarrassing when your right tackle, and I mean, Doug Free, honestly, was the biggest, weakest link of that offensive line last year, besides center play, but that's trying out people, trying to get in after you've had Andre Girard for years, it takes a little while to get a new center in there, but whenever you sign a guy that you think is going to be your cornerstone left tackle, and you slide him over to right tackle, and he's probably the weakest link? Good God. That is – you need to get your ass in shape, or somebody needs to cut him. Get fucking Mark Colombo back out here, for God's sake. I don't care. Somebody. Leonard Davis, I mean, we gave him that huge contract all those years ago, which was fine. He obviously was not done. I mean, he was on that 49ers team that went to the Super Bowl this year. I understand cap casualties, but at the same time, whenever those cap casualties also affect the play of a certain position, that's unacceptable on a lot of different levels, especially when you can't draft and your name is Jerry Jones. And every time that you do a draft pick, the third through fifth round, everybody is just asking, who the fuck are you drafting? Why are you drafting this person here? And what is the upside of this? Because that's what it happens every draft, and it has since Parcells left.
Absolutely, and I've always thought, regarding Leonard Davis, I always thought he was, a little bit lesser. He just reminded me of Larry Allen, me personally.
Yeah,
Larry Allen was the best offensive lineman in Cowboys history. And
not only he is the best left guard probably to ever play the position. The man was an absolute hoss. You and I actually ran into him.
When we saw him at Grapevine Mills.
Yes, we were at the Outlet Mall in Texas, and being the huge Cowboy fans that we are, we were at Sbarro Pizza, and out of the corner of Sam's eye, he just notices Larry Allen eating with his kids and his family, and Sam just points, and I point, we're both, pretty much silently freaking out not to draw attention, and he notices us, So the only thing that comes to our mind, well, the only thing that comes to Sam's mind for some reason is to get into a three-point stance. So Sam just gets down into a three-point stance. I'm standing there laughing. Larry Allen is dying laughing, like throws us the wave, like, thank you for not interrupting me and thank you for making me laugh. And, man, that's honestly one of my favorite memories. That guy seemed like such a cool dude just from that, you know, just like.
Did he have bodyguards?
No, I didn't. He just asked if he had bodyguards.
No, he doesn't need bodyguards. He could eat people if he needed to. He could run. How many times did he lift 600 pounds? What was that?
I don't know, but he benched 715 pounds. Biceps were wider than my torso.
Yeah, that's fucking unbelievable. Like, just
smartest human I've ever seen in my life, hands down. He's not fat whatsoever. That guy was just, no human being should be that large. I still can't get over it.
Yeah, man, I'll never forget that Sunday. That was like whenever we were in like 9th or 10th grade. I'm pretty sure we were all sitting at somebody's house watching that and fucking, here's a clip of Larry Allen benching 715, like, just out of nowhere. Just one of the coolest things, especially the young Cowboys fan, to just know that, like, damn, like, we've got one of the greatest players of all time on our team.
The metal weight bar should not bend 45 degrees when you're benching, you know? Like, somehow the weight stayed on.
Yeah, I'm surprised that bar just didn't snap in half. That man's a fucking, he's definitely one of my idols. Oh, man. One of these weeks, I'm going to tell the story. My dad, when I was younger, signed me up somehow to be able to stand on the field while everybody was running out. And I got to stand with the cheerleader. And I was like, oh, man. You know, I got to watch Michael Irvin run past Emmett, Troy, Moose. Like, it was like 97.
So badass. That's so classic.
Dude, yeah, we all, like, it was a bunch of me and other kids, and we took a bus from Fort Worth to Dallas, and we all got, like, paraded onto the field, and we all got our own cheerleader. It was a fucking amazing, one of my favorite memories ever. Shout out to Tim Boglin for that.
That away, Timmy B. The only thing that rivals that is when Joe and I were, like, we were 17, 18 years old. We might have even just graduated high school when we stayed after a Rangers game with all the little kids to run around the bases, and we slid into home plate.
That's fucking awesome. I think that was high school. That sounds like a fucking great memory.
Well,
great time to get you away.
All I know is we had a good decade on every other person on that field. We were
I don't doubt that at all. Well, I mean, physically you had a decade, mentally right on par. Like, pretty much still are. Half those kids are probably older than we are now. You know what I'm saying? I still laugh at farts.
He's gone.
What happened? America?
Pokemon!
Pokemon, can you hear me, Sam? Are you all right?
I can hear you.
Are you in the, did you ever name your car?
I believe it's a Street Shark.
Street Shark. Yeah, it does have the fin in the back. I remember that was some of the last conversations out in Old California Way. Oh, dude, speaking of Old California Way, my boy Renee, our boy Renee, Mr. Smokes, really wants us to come out there.
My nigga Renee.
Yeah, that was his nickname.
Between the Street Shark and the Dark Knight.
It's a very strange time living out in Compton and to be accepted in that social way that we were. This is probably my favorite story of Compton. We were out there, we're standing there smoking a blunt in the park with all our buddies. And up rolls the police, and me, you and your little brother just kind of turn around, and the police just kind of back up, and all the guys are just like, oh, homie, thank you so much for being here. They're like, they would come and fuck also does no doubt if you white boys had skin here. I'm just like, oh shit. Like always love to be the great white shining beacon of getaway police officers. Like, I don't know what to call on that.
That I totally forgot about that. That was hilarious. White power. Literally shining through.
God. That was a very, very, very funny afternoon. Oh, man. We got a minute left, Sam. What do you want the world to know?
I want them to know that I'm benching 385 pounds. I love orange juice, a well-balanced diet, and I will climb as many trees as possible.
Breakfast is the new heroin. I want America to know that as much as you and I know that. Breakfast is the new heroin. Everybody's doing breakfast. Everybody's addicted to breakfast. I need bacon, eggs, and cheese and toast every morning. With some fresh vegetables and fruit. Fuck it. Give it to me. Right? Am I
absolutely
right, Sam?
You could not be more right. My grandpa always told me drink a glass of orange juice a day. And above all, how can you love anything else if you don't love yourself? Be true and love yourself.
Dude, have you... Dude, we should... We're going to... All right. In the upcoming weeks, you and I are going
to
have a Tony Robinson hour, and we're going to give... advice to people. 10 seconds, Sam. Say goodbye, America. I love you. Okay, goodbye.
Tiny Ant versus Literary Underground. America.